Good evening. Good to be back with you for my last opportunity, at least for a time, I suppose. But I am glad. I've enjoyed very much being here, and I hope and pray that it's helpful to you. Tonight I'm going to give you some handouts, but I'm going to do it at the end. And so you'll have the notes that I have, but I'd kind of like to be able to have you focused on me right now so we can just interact on some of these issues that I'd like to bring. Tonight I'd like to talk primarily about relationships, and I'm talking most specifically about guy-gal relationships at this stage of the game. And what I want to talk to you about is how you can know you have healthy relationships versus how you know when you're beginning to have an unhealthy relationship. Now, let me say that from the outset, my focus is to those of you who, first of all, know Christ as your Savior and Lord. Those go together. That is, you've come to know Christ and His forgiveness, and as a result of that, you want to please Him. I mean, more than anything else in this world, you want to please Him. And we're going to talk about those things as far as signs of a healthy relationship, because a healthy relationship with one another begins with a healthy relationship with God. And if you have an unhealthy relationship with God, I'm just telling you, you're heading for trouble when you have relationships with one another, especially dating relationships. I told you last week when I closed that ultimately, you guys, in the Scriptures, it's God that ordained relationships. God ordained marriage. God says it's good. Adam, when he was created, there was no woman. It was God who said it's not good for man to be alone. There wasn't a woman around, and it just wasn't a problem for God. God created a woman for Adam. It was no problem. And you guys, God has absolutely no problem taking care of you. And if you think He does, then you're going to push the envelope and you're going to try to force circumstances because you're afraid. You're afraid that you're going to be single. You're afraid that people are going to make fun of you. You're afraid that you might never get married. You know, you have all of those fears, and so you're going to start pushing for things to happen. And ultimately, the consequence for that can be absolutely tragic. And so, I mean, really, where we begin is number one, you need to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 1:12, 1 John 3:1. You guys, you need to know Him personally. And if you know Him personally, then you know that you can trust Him. You love Him. He's perfect. He knows you better than anybody. He doesn't make any mistakes. You can trust Him. And so as we look at His Word, you'll recognize the things that God says, and you'll just want to be obedient to them, knowing that God's provision will be absolutely perfect day by day until you see Him face to face. Okay, so for those who know Christ as their Lord, you're spending time with God. You know, if I talk to you about, you know, I love my wife. And if I told you that I love my wife, in fact, I love her so much that every Sunday I talk to her. I would expect you'd say, doesn't sound like a very healthy relationship to me. I said, no. Hey, but now I've moved up to Wednesday nights and Sunday. We're really getting close now. You'd think I was crazy. That's how some of you treat God. I've treated Him that way. That's not love. That's not love. See, a lot of people want Christ and they want God just so that they can get what they want. But you guys, the picture of really knowing Christ is you want to serve Him. You want to honor Him. You want to please Him. Because my love for my wife is demonstrated day by day by day. We talk all of the time. She might talk a little bit more than I do, but I'm not sure. She's saying, well, you know, sometimes you're pretty quiet. Don't even go there, Sue. We have a relationship that continually develops day by day. And you guys, that's the way it ought to be in our walk with God. You know, so it is in Psalm 119:97. It says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You guys, you can't think that that's just for somebody unique, somebody special. If you know Christ, that's supposed to be a reflection of you. You. Your love for God, your love for His Word, your desire to know and understand Him and submit to Him. You're committed to worshiping the Lord. Remember, Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan in Matthew 4:10, said, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And as Christians, we want God to be exalted in our lives. We want people to see our love for God because we want them to know we serve the holy, righteous God, the living God, our Creator. So we're committed to worshiping Him. You guys, as Christians, you want to share the gospel with the lost. You may struggle with that because we could be fearful people. But as a Christian, you want the unsaved people to know the gospel. See, that plays into relationships because ultimately, if you start developing a relationship, you want that relationship to be so God-honoring that you can share with the unsaved. Whatever they see you do, you can always at any point stop and share with the unsaved because that's on your mind. It's a priority to you. And so the relationships that you develop, the things that you do, you're very careful with them because you want the unsaved to see Christ in you. You know, when we talk about relationships, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's an appointed time for everything and there's a time for every event under heaven. And you guys, when we talk about relationships, dating relationships, you need to understand there are appropriate times for relationships and there are inappropriate times for relationships. And so even the development of a relationship, you need to be very careful of that. You know, if you're immature in the Lord, you need to grow and you need to develop in the Lord. You start getting involved in a relationship, that can cause some real problems. It can be bad timing. We live in a culture that if you're not dating anymore, even in junior high, there's something wrong with you. Let me tell you something, you guys. There's something wrong with our culture. There's something wrong with our culture. We live in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with pornography. We live in a culture where 40% of the babies born today are born to unwed mothers. 40%. That is unbelievable. God never calls you to reflect your culture. Never. There is a right time for relationships. And let me tell you right now, because we're going to get there, but because ultimately, you need to understand the physical relationship between a guy and a gal is intended to progress to intimacy in marriage. You know that, right? You know that. God designed it to progress to the intimacy in marriage. And so you start playing games with relationships before it's time, you are just asking for trouble. You're just asking for it. God warns us to be careful. And so you guys, ultimately, spiritual priorities are huge. You know, you need to make sure you love the Lord. And as you develop a relationship with somebody else, they need to love the Lord. You both love God. Now, is that what most people look at? Now, you guys, there's nothing wrong with physical attractiveness. But if that's all you're looking at, you're a fool. You're just a fool. It's got to be more than that. And you guys, knowing that you love God and that you're looking for somebody that also loves God will be huge. Because we're going to talk later, if you get that wrong, what happens? Dangers that go with that. You guys, ultimately, one of the healthy signs of a relationship is that you're committed to serving God and that other person is committed to serving God. You both want to serve God. You recognize 1 Peter 4:10. Each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so one of the indications for you to make sure you're having a healthy relationship, you're always looking for opportunities to serve God and you want to have a relationship at whatever time God deems that's appropriate with somebody who has an equal passion to serve God. You guys, you ought always, if you're involved in a relationship, you ought always be able to talk both consistently and comfortably about spiritual issues. If you can't talk about spiritual issues both consistently and comfortably, you have a problem. But if you can't, that's a sign of a healthy relationship in 2 Corinthians 4:13 and 14. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. You guys, that's the joy of knowing Christ. We want to talk about Him. And so when you're involved in a godly relationship, you both talk about the things of God and you enjoy that. It's part of your life. It's a priority of who you are. You enjoy a healthy relationship with one another's families. One another's families. Now, see, we live in a culture that you hide things from mom and dad, and that's like something that's supposed to be a neat thing to do or whatever. Because that is just totally ungodly. It is just ungodly. If you have a healthy relationship, your parents ought to know about it. You ought not to have any problem with your parents knowing. I mean, you guys, God knows about it. A healthy relationship, there's openness in that relationship. You're not deceiving. You're not on the cell phone in the middle of the night when your parents have no idea. You're not texting when you're not on the computer playing all of the games. You guys, that's the world. That's the godless pagans. Not people that know Jesus. That's not the way it's to be. And you know the verses, they're simple. Obey and honor, Ephesians 6. It's just plain and simple. You start playing games, you guys, it's wrong. You guys, a Christian in a healthy relationship, there's an openness to that. A very appropriate openness. Nothing sneaky about it. You know, in a healthy relationship, you are more interested in God's plan being fulfilled than your own plan being fulfilled. Did you hear me? Healthy relationship, you're more interested in God's plan being fulfilled than your plan being fulfilled. And so when it says Proverbs 69, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. If the Lord directs you otherwise, your life has not ended. Oh, you know, there are more suicides probably associated with relationships broken up than probably anything else. That's really tragic. That's sick. But see, for the Christian, if you are developing a relationship, a God-honoring relationship, and then God sees fit to take it apart, you're not like, oh, my life is over. You understand that you're in your mind, you have plans and you set a course, but God oftentimes redirects us. But you guys, he's not failed us when he does that. He is a perfect God. He has not failed us. We just trust him and wait for what his perfect plan is, each day seeking to serve him. You always remember that marriage does not begin until the vows are exchanged. Marriage does not begin until the vows are exchanged. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, in all purity. All purity. That's how you're supposed to treat each other, in all purity. It doesn't say some purity, the best you can. It says in all purity. That's how you're supposed to treat one another. That's Paul speaking to Timothy in relationship to the church. In all purity. In 1 Thessalonians 4, and you guys, the book of 1 Thessalonians is written to believers who are walking with God. They're really doing great walking with God. And the Apostle Paul tells them, you need to excel still more. And then he gives them this warning. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you, and it says, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. I think it's an amazing passage because he's talking to believers who are walking with God, and he tells them to excel still more, and then he says, but don't get involved in sexual immorality. It seems like a huge jump, but it's obviously not, because the potential dangers are huge. They're just massive. And so he warns us, you need to be careful that you maintain your own vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor. You need to protect yourself. You need to be careful that you don't defraud another person. You don't take advantage. You guys, a relationship is pure. Men, you treat ladies with respect, godly purity. Because you want to honor God more than anything. You want to be a testimony to the world in any place. You want to be able to share the gospel with the unsaved. If the parents showed up, you don't have guilt at all. And ladies, you would want the same thing. You'd want to dress in such a way that it doesn't in any way dishonor God or create issues that would be inappropriate as you walk with God. We just want to maintain our vessels in sanctity and honor so that God is glorified. You understand the responsibilities in marriage as taught in Ephesians 5 and other passages, and you desire your marriage to fulfill God's purposes. Ladies, in Ephesians 5 or in Colossians, what do you know that God says maybe some of the responsibilities that you or commands that he gives you in marriage? This is your opportunity. I know you know at least one of them. Yes. Thank you. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Bless you. Submission. Okay, now listen to me, ladies. Listen. I have probably told you this before, but do you know the only thing that's worse than wanting to get married really, really, really bad? Wanting to get unmarried really, really bad. Okay? Now, you don't want to think about that. And so because of that, sometimes we put blinders on and we just push forward and somehow we think it's just going to work out. Well, it oftentimes does not. And so here's the deal, ladies. God says that you need to submit biblically to your husband in all things. All things. All things. Submit to your husband in all things. Only time that you're not permitted to do that is if he was to ask you to do something that would clearly violate biblical principles. It doesn't say when he's walking with you. It just says you're to submit to him in all things. How do you feel about that? Feel good? Bad? Concerned? Don't want to say? Ooh, can be tough. Yeah. I wish sometimes I could take you into the room and to counsel people whose marriages are in trouble. There was a day that they were fun and exciting and all of that, but something went wrong. It's not funny at all, and it's not fun for anybody. Gals, if you're required to submit to God and or to submit to your husband in all things, you know the thing that you should want more than any other thing in the man that you would date and ultimately marriage? You should want a man who desires more than any other thing on this earth to submit to God. You should desire a man who wants more than any other thing on this earth to submit to God. And if he doesn't, what are you thinking? I mean, what are you thinking? You see, that's God's design. And guys, your responsibility in marriage, and among many others, but you guys, these are some of the practical, essential, critical things. The Bible says that you're to love a woman as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And you guys, Christ's love for the church was demonstrated, what? On the cross. And that love was demonstrated on a cross when people left him. They rejected him. Even his closest followers left him. That's not how we picture love, guys. Love is not a self-seeking, self-satisfying, lust-oriented relationship. It's a Christ-centered, sacrificial, God-glorifying servanthood to another person, genuinely wanting God's best more than your own best because you worship the living God. See, that's God's intent for marriage. And you know what? You start pursuing relationships apart from that. And just because, you know, everybody has relationships. And if you don't have one, you're left out you're afraid. You're afraid that you're going to end up single. And what's going to happen with that? Your standards ought to reflect a commitment to be above reproach in a relationship. In Philippians 2, it says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so for godly people, for people who know Christ and walk with Christ, you guys, you would always want your relationship to be above reproach. That's why you want your folks to know, you want friends to know. There's no hiding. There's no games. You know, as Christians who are single here tonight, you need to be committed to using your singleness for the glory of God. If you're not using your singleness for the glory of God, you're not going to use your marital life for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 7:32 and following, Paul says, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." When you get married, you're concerned about a marriage and you have other responsibilities. And Paul is saying, then when you're single, serve God. Pour your whole heart into serving God. Don't get consumed with all kinds of other things. Just serve Him, love Him, grow in Him, mature, minister to other people. Use all the time that you have in a way that would please Him. And then trust Him with your future. Trust Him with your future. You need to learn to be content. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances that I'm in." I do appreciate the fact that he had to learn to be content. Sometimes it's hard to be content, isn't it? It can be hard. But Paul said, "I've learned to be content." And so we need to learn to be content in our singleness and then trust God with our futures in whatever those might be. Now, here's some warning signs. Here's some dangers that you can get into. These are like barriers. You know, when you see these are lights going off, when you begin to get involved in a relationship and you see these things, they ought to just set alarms off in your mind to say, stop, 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 stop. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. And the first one I would say is when you just begin to get careless about your personal walk with the Lord. You begin to get careless about your personal walk with the Lord. I mean, how many times does that happen? You know, all of a sudden a guy and a gal have interest in each other. And boy, pretty soon they're totally consumed in that relationship on the phone and texting and whatever, and it just absorbs their time, and pretty soon they don't even have time to spend time with God. That's a big problem. I mean, that's just a huge warning sign. You guys, if you're not maintaining your relationship with God and keeping that in its right focus, then you're going to start making some other bad decisions. It is a progression. Here's a danger sign. When you are not careful to remain in the light, Bible says a lot about light and darkness. In Ephesians 5:8 and following, it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." You guys, as a Christian, you don't just see how close you can get to the edge of the cliff before you go off. As a Christian, you stay in the light. And you're content to stay in the light. When you're in the light, there is protection. That's why your relationship is open. You can talk about it. That's a God-honoring relationship. There's nothing secret and hidden. That's why you're not hiding under the covers at night talking on the phone. You just don't do those things because you want the relationship to be in the light. You don't go places where it could put you in a compromising situation. You don't go into a house if there's nobody else there. You're just asking for it, aren't you? I mean, you just got to use good sense, judgment, testimony. You know, you sit out in a dark car. I mean, let me ask you, are there dangers with that? I'm not talking about somebody coming and robbing you. I mean, don't we all know that of course there are dangers with that? And so as a Christian, you want to be very, very careful to stay in the light. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You are all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of the night or of darkness." And so we're very careful with our testimony so we don't compromise our relationship or get into a situation that would create temptations that cannot be fulfilled outside the context of marriage. You guys, when you get involved in a guy-gal relationship and it begins to isolate you from the body of Christ, how often have we seen that happen? You know, people are involved, these guy and gal are involved in the youth group, and all of a sudden they get interested in each other, and pretty soon they disengage from the youth group, and even when they're here, they're only together, and they're quick out, and come in, like, you know, because all of a sudden it's only about them. Well, you guys, that's a violation of Scripture when God says it is each one has received a special gift employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so, you guys, a relationship shouldn't take you away from ministry. A healthy biblical relationship should foster increased ministry. You encourage one another, you minister together, you allow one another to minister. And it's good and healthy because you want to honor God above all else. Well, you guys, 1 Corinthians 13, the theme for that chapter is what? Love. Love. It's the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it talks about it doesn't act unbecomingly. And it's a beautiful description of what love is all about. But you guys, oftentimes when a couple get involved in a relationship, they think that that passage only relates to that couple. Because that passage is not written to a couple. That passage is telling me as a believer how I ought to love other believers. And so if I get involved in a relationship with like my wife, if we were dating and we get involved in a relationship and that becomes isolated and pulls back where I'm not demonstrating love to the body of Christ, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not that you can't have good friends or develop even closer friendships, you guys, but they can't take you away from loving and serving other people. You guys, when a relationship, as it progresses, takes away any thought in your mind of sharing the gospel with the unsaved. Just have no regard for unbelievers. You're just consumed with yourselves, your plans, what you're doing, where you're going, your life. And no regard for the unsaved, that's a danger. It's a danger. But the flip side is, if you're in a relationship and you're constantly thinking about ministry to the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ, and sharing the gospel with the unsaved, man, I'm telling you what, that just reminds you of how careful you need to be with your testimony in that relationship. Because at any point in time, you want to be able to turn around and talk to somebody and share the gospel and never be in such a situation that there would be embarrassment to do that. You just want to be careful. You know, when the physical relationship is overemphasized, in 1 Thessalonians 4 I read earlier, that you just need to be careful physically. You just need to be careful because, you guys, it's so easy to get into trouble on the physical relationship. I've never met somebody, or I've never had somebody come in for counseling who said that, listen, we really should have gotten more involved physically before we got married, and it would have made a lot better after we got married. I've never had anybody say that. But I don't know how many people that I've met with that got involved physically, intimately, before marriage and were struggling because of the lack of trust and all of the issues that go with that, even after marriage. Even after marriage. That's why, you guys, you're not married till you're married. Vows are exchanged. Don't ever forget that. Until those vows are exchanged, you have no idea for certain whether that person you're dating might one day end up being somebody else's spouse. Until the vows are exchanged. You just want to be careful. Just be careful. You know, if you get involved in a relationship and you're not willing to help one another with spiritual issues, that's a danger sign. You're not willing to help one another with spiritual issues. We talked about a healthy relationship is that you can talk about spiritual things. And again, you guys, if you want a Christ-centered, God-honoring relationship, and I would assume that if you're in Christ, that's what you want, then you must be able to talk about the things of the Lord. And you ought to be able to enjoy it. Gals, if you're dating a guy that he never talks about spiritual issues, I don't think that he's going to do it after you're married. I can't tell you the number of people get in the engagement period and they know that there are things that are not good. They know there are things that need to be addressed, but they refuse to talk about them because they're afraid what's going to happen, and they try to convince themselves that it just will work out once they get married. Wrong. Wrong. Hebrews 3:13 says we're to encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And Hebrews 10:24 and 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Guys, if you're a Christian, 2 Corinthians 6, by the way, makes it clear that you would only marry a Christian. Okay. You would only marry a Christian. Scriptures dictate that. But I would assume, understanding that, you would want to marry somebody who loves God. You ought to be able to talk about the things of God and enjoy talking about things of God and enjoy serving God. You know, if you get to a point in that relationship and the word is just no longer central, so even in a relationship with a guy or a gal, y'all ought to be able to read the word together, talk about the word together, and enjoy that. I mean, ultimately, God says he wants to be the highest priority in our lives, second to none. Psalm 119, 43 and following says, "Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." If you're in Christ, you love God and you love his word. And when you have relationships with other people, and I mean, honestly, this can be relationships with girlfriends, with guy friends, with guy and gal friends. If you're in Christ, you ought to have liberty and great delight in talking about the things of God. A relationship is heading for trouble if you're fostering thoughts that cannot be biblically fulfilled outside of marriage. If you're fostering thoughts that cannot be biblically fulfilled outside of marriage. In James 1:13 to 15, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." And folks, you know, if you go back and you look at the history even of the nation of Israel, you'll find that oftentimes it was bad relationships that led the nation into sin. Relationships between guys and gals, intermarrying with the ungodly nations. There's just all kinds of bad things that were associated with relationships that led them into trouble. And you know what? If you know Christ as your Savior, there's no doubt that the enemy would want to get you distracted. And at your age, one of the best ways to get you distracted is get you involved in a relationship that absorbs all of your time. And then just to slowly lead you down the path, and in your mind justify when you start stepping back and you're not spending time in the Word like you should. And you know, you're kind of stepping, you're not going to youth group like you should. And maybe, you know, you're coming in late and leaving early, but you're just not engaging with your friends and other people. And maybe sometimes you're just not even coming. And then, you know, on occasion, maybe you don't tell your parents exactly what's going on. And they don't really, it's not that you've liked them. You just know that they would not want you on the phone in the middle of the night. You're doing it anyways. And you're just doing all of those things. And you're playing that game. And you guys, pretty soon you can start beginning to have this really skewed view that somehow the desire for the physical relationship outside the context of marriage is okay, and you think that might be an expression of love when in fact it's actually an expression of total selfishness and lustfulness. It's a complete abuse of a whole concept of biblical love, but you begin to justify that, and so you kind of let things progress, and pretty soon you're not being responsible, and so you're allowing yourself to get into situations that it would be really easy for you to jeopardize your testimony, eventually make decisions that are terrible. You guys, God puts up warning after warning. The enemy wants you to go right down that path. He wants you to go right down that path. He does not want you to be virgins when you get married. He'd rather you carry baggage the rest of your life. He'd rather you marry somebody that's unsaved, really complicate things in your testimony. That's what he'd want. But God doesn't want that. And you guys, God loves you, and God ordained marriage. He ordained relationships. He won't fail you. But you must have spiritual priorities. Ephesians 5, if you recall, it says, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints." You know, I know it's easy when you get involved in a relationship to have this fear that the relationship will break up. People can become really possessive and make really unwise decisions because of that. But you guys, ultimately, if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about the breakup of a relationship. You know, if God determines to break that relationship up, you can have confidence that God has not failed you. He's not failed you. That Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You guys, if you're going down the road and you have in your mind this dream, and this is how the relationship, and you're going to get married and you're going to have kids, and you have these dreams, and all of a sudden it doesn't happen as you planned, but you're walking with the Lord and the Lord is just determined that's not the way it's best, you don't have to despair. I'm not saying that can't be heartbreaking. I'm not saying you can't cry. I'm just saying you don't have to despair. God has not failed you. Trust Him. Just walk patiently with Him. Accomplish His will. Serve Him until you see Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, "A steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because He trusts in you." We just need to trust Him. Be faithful to Him. You guys, jealousy is not a proper reflection of a Christian. That possessiveness of one another. James 3:14-16, it says, "But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing." And then another warning is when there's guilt in a relationship. Guilt. And guilt is associated to making bad and sinful decisions. And you know, in some ways, that might, in your mind, start very small, just by not saying everything that's going on. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Why did they do that? They did it because they sinned. Because they sinned. And you guys, ultimately, we know in Proverbs 15 that the eyes of the Lord are in every place watching both the evil and the good. You know what? That should comfort you. That ought not to be a threat to you. If you love God and you want to walk with God, you ought to just be so grateful. God sees you wherever you're at, and He can provide for you wherever you're at. You can talk to Him wherever you're at. That ought to bring just incredible comfort to you. But if you're not really interested in walking in the Lord, that should horrify you. That should absolutely horrify you. Because ultimately, you have to come to grips with one of two things if you're not walking with the Lord. One of them, I don't care what you say, you may be unsaved. I don't care if you can answer all the Bible questions. You could be unsaved. If you just live a pattern of habitual sin, and God sees it all, and you're not going to manipulate Him like you can do your parents or your friends or your leaders or anybody. He sees and knows everything. You will stand before Him. You'll be cast into the eternal pit called hell. I don't care how clever you've been in this life. You won't be in that one. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're unsaved if you're making sinful choices. You can be a Christian and make sinful choices. But you guys, then Hebrews 12 makes it clear that in God's great love for you, He will discipline you just like a father would his son. It's not okay. He doesn't think it's funny or cute. He sees you everywhere you're at. He sees everything that you're doing. There's nothing hidden from His eyes. And if you're in Christ, He clearly will discipline you. And He uses words like, don't faint when you're reproved by Him. You know what you say? That's a pretty tough word. Don't faint. You ever faint when your parents disciplined you? He said, don't faint. And then He says He scourges every son. We receive scourge. That's a hard word. And what He's saying is, it's not funny if you know God and you just willfully walk in sin. That is, you're a true Christian. And because He loves you, He will stop you. I didn't say He might. He will stop you. And you will stop and change, or He'll take you home. That's what He says. I mean, that's what He says. And so it's not funny to God. But for those who know Christ, you guys, listen. He will never fail you. You don't have to worry about relationship. You don't have to worry about how it's turned. All you need to think about each day is, how can I please Him? How can I learn more about God? How can I walk more faithfully with Him? You need to recognize sin quickly. That's part of growing in your relationship with God, so that when you recognize sin, you confess it, you agree with God, and you seek to please Him and honor Him. And as He brings you into a relationship, you thank Him for that, and you make sure both for you and for that other person that you're both committed to the same purposes of honoring God. And when the warning signs come up, you're willing to back up and say, no, we need to stop. We need to stop. It may just be to reorient, and we continue to have and it may be that this is just not going to be good, period. But you're willing to do what's right because you trust God. You just trust Him. And in the long run, you will be so grateful. You'll be so grateful that you lived a life to honor Him, that you were patient with Him. And let me even go so far as to say, whether you are single or married, in whatever state that you're in, you will find that you can have great contentment and joy in your life because God is ultimately sufficient in all respects. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. These have been heavy things, but important things. And if you can get your hands, your arms around these things and embrace these truths of God's Word, it will profoundly impact your life. I believe that with all my heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word, for the time that we've had. I do pray, God, that You might protect these students. For those that know You, God, I pray that they would be willing, and in fact joyfully willing, to submit their hearts to Your Word, to listen and to respond in a way that would please You, to make decisions that reflect a complete trust in You. Lord, for those who are lost, I just pray that You might open their eyes, that they would see and understand the truth and respond in faith and repentance. Lord, for those here tonight, and no doubt there are many who have made some bad decisions, whether it relates to just the filth that this world is trying to impose upon us, whether it's immorality in relationships. Oh God, I pray that You might work in their hearts, that they would recognize the sinfulness, that they would truly repent, and then determined by Your grace to walk in a manner that would please You. Thank You for Your patience with all of us, God. Thank You for Your love in Christ's name. Amen.